Why y'all abusing me like this?
Oh, wow!
Oh,
she watches the show! Double clickers.
Say I'm such a fan, you guys. Exciting.
This is
listen.
The best. Look at her. She's jumping my shit here. All right. Welcome to Real Estate Makes Us Drink. Brian Quinlan from Daniels Real Estate.
Brad Nickum from Nest Mortgage Group.
And maybe our new co-host, hostess, ma'am?
Adriana Burke with D.R. Horton.
Are you allowed to call a woman ma'am?
Like, yes.
I thought that was a...
Everybody's a ma'am. I think Lauren Davis really appreciated when I called her ma'am.
Yes, she did. She was so excited.
26-year-old ma'am.
I know. That's how they get me to, like, upcharge all of the, like, oil change stuff. They're like, ma'am. And I'm like, all right, just do it.
Yeah. I'll take that $40 filter.
Yeah. Right.
Well, clearly, you watched the show. So, A, thank you. You're one of our regular viewers, perhaps.
Tens of viewers.
We shout out Fred on the show all the time. Should we be shouting out Adriana?
Yes. I've been a fan of you, Brian, since you started using our specs for content.
Yeah. I actually need to come back because there's some new stuff and y'all got basements down in CG now. And
mm-hmm.
I need to go pimp that stuff out.
DR Horton has basements now?
They do.
In a select few communities.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, all right. Cheers to you. And to you, I like your glass.
Thank you.
Brad made you a fantastic margarita.
I know. It is fantastic. I will say that. I had high hopes, and it's fantastic. So.
That's awesome.
Well, you did preface that with, I make a great margarita.
But,
so
I know.
Mix were high.
Hence
keep
the high.
In mind, I just used TC Craft's pre-made margarita mix and TC Craft's tequila to make a fantastic margarita.
Sounds pretty easy. Even I could do it.
What are you drinking?
Well, this is maybe my third or fourth time on the show that I've had this one. This is the Lost Coast Brewery Tangerine. It is one of my top three favorite beers, for sure. I like the orangey tangerine flavor of this. It's very light and refreshing. It's a really good summer beer here that I'm drinking in January.
So I can say if you own a beer company, is that what it's called?
Brewery.
Brewery, sure. If you have a brewery and you want to have your beer highlighted right here on Real Estate Makes Us Drink,
weekly show.
Send them to brewery.
With tens of subscribers.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't own a brewery, but you know someone who does. Feel free to get me their contact because
maybe you like the show so much that you want to stop by Total Wine and mail Brian some beer.
That's okay, too.
That's good, too.
Yeah.
And if anybody owns a winery and wants to mail me some wine, that's great, too.
Okay.
And for all the people that send me tequila on a regular basis, thank you very much.
What type of wine do you prefer?
Pinot Noir is my favorite
okay. As
of late. I'm going more towards the dry red.
Well, it is dry January.
You go, the longer you're in it, that's where you end up.
Yeah.
It is dry January.
It is dry January. And
that just got them, broken.
I know. It took them approximately two tries to get me to break, and the second try worked for me.
I just want to say, we do not force people to drink on the show. One of our previous guests had a bottle of water, and that's fine.
Oh, he didn't know. I filled it full of vodka.
Oh, well, it's an interesting ride home for him, I suppose. But, you know, we enable.
It wasn't going to take much for me to break this, so.
I just still have your name tag on in case forget who you are.
In case. I know. I thought that I'd at least pretend to look like I know something about something.
That's awesome.
I always wanted a job that had, like, where I worked and what my name was, just in case I ever forgot where I worked or what my name was.
Absolutely.
That's what it's for.
I appreciate a good name tag.
For those of you watching on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button, leave us a comment, and share if you are listening to us on one of the
podcast platform.
And how many are there?
16.
16-ish podcast channels. Leave us a comment and like there as well. Have you had these people from this tequila company on your show yet?
No, this actually, I'm doing the interview tomorrow.
Okay.
Which would be already done by the time this comes out. So yes, by the time they come out. But as you can see, I've had their tequila because it's all half bottles.
Yeah.
The Corrido. So
every one of them is a half bottle at this point.
Fantastic tequila. Made a Num 1412, female master distiller. Great, great story about the brand. So check it out at Tasting Tequila with Brad on YouTube, and you'll get the whole story and get to meet one of the owners.
Do you watch that show? I mean, when you're not watching our show?
I mean,
his segments are significantly shorter.
Okay.
It's
going to now.
There's YouTube and Facebook, Tasting Tequila with Brad.
Instagram. And TikTok.
There you go.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm sold.
Yeah. He talks about tequila. He interviews their distillers and It's really good stuff.
Story behind it. The tradition and the amount of hands and people that are, you know, go into the process of manufacturing great additive free traditionally made tequila is phenomenal. And this is a great one. And this right here, if I get a tattoo, this will be the tattoo that I get.
I'm excited for that day.
And then because I'll cry. You probably want to video it.
Oh, there's no doubt. You've great reel. You've talked me into a marathon, which we'll get to momentarily. You will never talk me into a tattoo.
Don't ever say never.
Oh, never talk me into a tattoo. So
I want to raise $100,000 to get Brian a tattoo.
Nope, not happening. Not going to happen. So we're recording this in mid-January, not having any idea how much we have currently raised for my marathon fund, which is not a fund for me to run a marathon. However, if we raise $1,000 for a charity, then we're going to donate that, and I will run, ideally, the Disney Marathon in January. Brad has graciously said he will match the $1,000 donation, so $2,000 going to a wonderful charity, and so far we have this much raised.
Is it up there right now?
I hope so. I hope I've edited well enough
somewhere
that it's right here. Or, no, it'll be here on this side. So, thanks to all of you who have donated, and we'll keep pushing towards the marathon in January. Have you ever run a marathon?
No.
Have you ever run anything?
I like to hot girl walk.
The
incline, like, treadmill with the 13 incline, the 3.5 speed.
Is that called hot girl walk?
It's been coined that.
Have you ever watched a marathon of shows? Like maybe...
Oh, I've never...
Like a Hallmark marathon, for sure.
They're like, are you still watching? Yeah. I'm still watching.
Always watching.
I'm looking forward to you running this marathon.
I've seen videos from people running the Disney Marathon. If 26 miles can look fun, that looks fun.
So, can you tell everybody what the Dumbo Challenge is?
I actually don't know. No, it's the Dopey Challenge.
Oh, Dopey Challenge.
Yeah. And when the Disney Marathon happens, which is like January 11th, I believe, it's an entire weekend. So it's about 4 days worth of running events. And if you run the half marathon and the full marathon and maybe even the 5K, 10K, so all four of their big events, you get an extra medal for the Dopey Marathon.
So how much would we have to raise for you to do all of those?
There is zero chance that that's going to have. Let's take it one step at a time.
Nobody asked me if I do it. I'm like, hell no.
I've already bypassed the 5K, the 10K, and the half marathon.
Oh, no, you're going to run those.
Which I've never done any of those. And so we're just jumping right into 26 miles. Let's just take that as a win, Brad.
It's all for charity. Just think about it. It's all for charity.
It is. And I get to run through Disney World, which I love going to Disney.
You're
going to
spend at least 5 hours with me.
I know. And probably long, because we'll go down to Disney World together and we'll probably hang out outside unless I'm pissed at you for making me run the marathon.
I bet we even do some tasting tequila with Brad at the Epcot Mexican restaurant, because we get to go to Mexico.
I love that idea.
They have, I forget how, it's like 1,000 different bottles of tequila.
Oh my.
A couple more than I have.
And you know, Stephanie Quinlan will be with us.
Oh, so he's going to get.
Love to contribute.
And I will show her some tequilas that we can't ever find anywhere.
I'm excited.
That's going to be like in February when I go back to tequila.
Yeah.
And for those playing the game, they have to dot now. Yep.
Exactly.
I worked for Disney.
College
intern.
No
minute.
Way.
I worked the Epcot Food and Wine Festival.
Did you ever drink around the world?
I did.
Yep.
You've done, it was expensive.
I've done it twice. It is. Yeah, I literally had to save up because, you know, and I'm going with my wife, so we're paying for two drinks every time, and every pavilion, a drink is anywhere from $8, maybe if you're lucky, to $15.
Nothing.
And I'm buying two.
Yeah.
And not only that, but you have the regular worlds, and then they add in these smaller little kiosks for various countries around. It's like,
I worked the kiosk.
Am I supposed to be doing those? Do I have to do Ecuador today? They're not normally here.
The restaurants, they have to be from that country to work there. So the interns were working the kiosk.
So I actually read somewhere that it was cheaper to actually go to each country and drink than it was to go to Epcot.
It might be, but I'm not going to lie.
I believe it.
There's a really, I find this a funny story. The first time we ever did drinking around the world, my parents, who live in Florida, were our designated drivers that day. And we had gone there. with the intention, and I had said this to my mother multiple times, we're doing drinking around the world. She apparently didn't know what that meant. So we started in Canada, get a drink at Canada, get a drink at UK, get a drink in France. And my mom says, are you drinking in every country? I was like, yes, mom, that's what this is. So we made our way back to America and we had a fast pass for Test Track. So that was a nice break. Mm-hmm. So we had done half the tour, go do the test track. Then we went over to Mexico, had some food, and then started the rest of the drink in the other half. It was really well planned out.
Yeah, I love that plan.
My choice would be to go and then just, I would just stay in Mexico.
Stay in Mexico.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, okay, your Disney internship.
Mm-hmm.
What was your role? Wherever?
I worked the Epcot Food and Wine Festival for the period of time that that was going on. And then after that, I worked in the Star Wars exhibit when that was, and that was the year that it just started opening.
Galaxy's Edge?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I was a
Princess Leia. Say you're a princess.
Yeah. And I was a Batuuan. So I was just like one of those people, the planet people that just stood around and people came up and asked me questions. And it was, I liked that better.
Did they take photos with you in your costume?
I had some people.
Did you ever just kind of reflect
on
that?
Is it the same as it is at D.R. Horton right now?
Do you ever just kind of reflect on that and think, I'm in someone's pictures of their vacation that they will remember forever. And here's me in their photo.
And I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually have never thought about that. And now it'll keep me awake.
So
it will.
You weren't a character in one of the well-known costumes, correct?
No.
Okay. I often wonder, perhaps you've had discussions with those of you who, those people you knew who were in those costumes.
Mm-hmm.
When they pose for pictures with people and they're in the mask and you can't see their face, do they smile?
Oh, they don't smile.
Why not? I think I would.
Well, you probably would, but they're not. They did it a million times. They're like, this kid smells.
Not. Maybe sometimes. It depends on probably their mood.
I think they're in the costume going, it smells so.
Oh, it has to smell terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then where does the fart go?
Well, nowhere, unfortunately.
That's something to think about.
I know that I am too tall for the majority of the costume.
Well, sure, yeah. You're not going to fit in a Mickey Mouse costume.
Usually a girl.
Mickey Mouse is usually a girl, yeah.
Because you have to be like 4'10 or something.
You have to talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, boys and girls.
Talk.
It's Mickey Mouse.
They don't talk.
Yeah.
But
what do you mean? I've heard Mickey Mouse talk a million times.
Anyway.
Is it like a spoiler alert that we should?
Nah, that's
okay.
Fine.
Nope,
but
everybody
friend, a very good friend of mine interned at Disney and then actually worked at Disney for a long time. And he told me, like, he's 6'3". So, you know, I asked him if he was ever got to be any of the costume characters. He's like, yeah, I could only do, like, Jafar and Goofy, I think, were the two that
he's
was
the giraffe.
Yeah, pretty much.
I have a friend there that's Elsa now, and I commented on her picture, and I was like, oh my gosh, like Isabel is her name. And she had to delete my comment. Mm-hmm. And she was like, hey, I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for your comment. But like,
don't out me.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm supposed to be Elsa.
I've always wondered if the Mickey Mouse that's famous, the famous Mickey Mouse that goes all the stuff, is it the same person or do they just send anybody?
Probably.
Hey, Bob, you're going to Times Square.
That's correct. Yeah.
Probably.
There was a...
I've got to be Mickey today.
There was a young lady who was a substitute teacher at the school that I taught who was a Disney princess previously.
Mm.
And she literally has hip damage because of the number of times she would have to squat down, pose with little kids or whatever, and potentially was headed for like hip surgery because it was so messed up from all of that she did.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a favorite Disney character. Who's your favorite Disney character?
Belle.
Mm-hmm. Mine's Bart Simpson.
Okay. That's a good one.
I don't think he's a Disney character. He's at Paramount.
Does he own The Simpsons, though?
I think Disney owns all of
them. They're at Universal Studios.
Yeah, they're at
Universal
Studios. So,
no.
Where Harry Potter's at, right?
Harry Potter. That's correct.
Oh, you just did a Harry Potter voice.
I do. I got a lot.
You know who his best voice is?
What?
Is
from Despicable Me.
Yeah, he does that one good.
That's right. They're the Minion. They're also at Universal Studios. The kids and the girls.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
All right, well, let's get to business. So,
can you do the rest of the show? Like,
no.
We,
Adriana, you work for D.R. Horton.
I do.
In what role?
I do our realtor relations. I mean, that's in a nutshell, it's realtor relations, but marketing, event coordinating, office presentations, things like that.
Social media superstar.
Social media.
Was Mr. Horton a doctor before he started the building?
I believe. You know, I often get asked if I'm a doctor when I'm wearing my name tag, and I often say yes.
Yep. As you should. Let me give my glove, grab your ankles.
Yep.
Won't hurt a bit.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's like the fiscal colonoscopy I give my borrowers.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So D.R. Horton is the biggest, largest builder in the country, correct?
Yes, for 22 years.
Wow. And
no kidding.
Where are they based out of?
Texas.
Okay.
Dallas.
All right. And I guess maybe what states are they largest in? They're kind of a big deal around here, but probably larger in other states. Oh, stumped her.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, I don't know the state that they're largest in, you know.
Probably Texas, because it's the largest.
Yeah, Texas is huge for us. What really surprised me is we have multiple locations in Hawaii.
Oh, get
like,
up.
Yeah, like, it's just, looking at the map, I'm surprised where all we're located, to be honest.
I could not work in Hawaii, because? Well, so, you know how good I am at pronouncing things.
Not good.
And you know how good I am at spelling things.
Yeah.
And have you tried to pronounce and spell the places in Hawaii?
It's a challenge.
They spelled everything with a mouthful of marble.
I believe there are 13 letters in the Hawaiian alphabet.
They have a different alphabet? Yep. All the letters look like ours.
It's true.
Uh-huh.
I think you made that up.
I did not. 13 might not be accurate, but it's not as many as we have.
Like just giving directions. It's like turn on blah, 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 and then after that turn blah, 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 and then go down blah, blah, blah.
Go down to Oahu'a and then turn right on Oahu'a. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I ran those. I ran those roads.
And the downside for you being in Hawaii is you like to laugh loud where they prefer everything in aloha.
They do like aloha. You're right.
That's right.
And being a dyslexic in Hawaii.
Oh boy.
It's really a challenge. You'd
really be in trouble.
Yep, I was.
So
I almost ran the marathon backwards.
How long have you been with D.R. Horton?
I've been with D.R. Horton for almost 2 years.
Oh, all right.
In the industry of real estate for almost 4.5.
Well, what'd you do for the other 2.5?
I was an agent.
What?
Yes.
Wait.
Ooh. Carpenter.
Okay.
Do you still have your license?
I do not.
Hmm.
I mean, I recommend our product, so it would kind of be unnecessary. I have an affiliate's license.
Okay. Should have that in with the Daniels real estate team.
Yeah, right. So what made you switch?
It wasn't a matter of me wanting to get out of being an agent. It was more a piqued interest in new home construction in general and learning more about it. I need to work on the up.
It's okay.
Nope.
I know. Sean's counting for us.
You have to take a shot.
Oh.
You have to take a shot every time you say,
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Stay on that mattress that you talk about?
Yep. Okay. Space.
Well, it was more just a piqued interest of new home construction. And I was meeting a bunch of people in new home construction and learning what they went through on a day-to-day basis. And I just liked... I don't know. It was a piqued interest and everything fell in the right places. And here I am.
Say, I've been interested in new home construction. I've actually looked into potentially switching to that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine where I'm at, but you never know.
Yeah.
I like the whole process of new home construction.
Yeah.
And I've only ever built one house, mm-hmm. but still. I enjoy the process. I enjoy talking about it. I enjoy picking out, you know, new stuff. And
mm-hmm.
my wife will tell you, I like new stuff.
Yeah.
That really has a big effect on my thought process there.
Yeah.
That's weird because everybody that builds a house always says to me, it was such a lovely process.
No, and that, I know you're being sarcastic. That's the thing. Most people who go through that don't like it, but I did. Yeah. Maybe we were fortunate that it was relatively smooth, but still. Such something I enjoyed.
Yeah. And every builder is different. Some will, you'll be there for 6 months to a year and a half or 2 years. And some you'll have move-in ready options. So it'll be very similar to just pre-existing.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why I'm excited about having you on, because we had our friend Carl McIntyre, Carrington Homes, building
custom home,
amazing custom homes. Mm-hmm. Like, he talked about 28,000 square foot.
Wow.
Even a customer that built an indoor gun range.
Wow.
Like, not like a bowling alley or a basketball court or a swimming pool, the things we hear about, right?
When, mm-hmm.
Like an indoor gun range. There may be even one of the sprint car track in the basement. Just amazing stuff.
A napkin drawing, and they're like, here you go, build
yeah,
it.
Build it.
Pretty much.
And Carl's like, yeah. How much money you got?
Probably make it happen.
I got it all.
Money and time.
So you know, the custom home process, I have a lot of customers ask me, you know, I want to buy a piece of ground and build a custom home. And I'm like, yeah, you think you do, you know, but you don't. And they don't understand the 30% down and, you know, all of the challenges of building a custom home. And but for somebody to come to you and build, you know, pretty much their home that they want to build, what are the advantages for coming to D.R. Horton versus talking to a custom home? What's their down payment look like? What's the challenges that they don't have with you guys?
So, I mean, we're not a builder that's going to be a perfect fit for every buyer type. So,
correct.
We're about 90% spec, so move-in ready homes, which means that we are constantly building and we have pre-programmed homes ready to go. We have move-in ready options at all of our communities. However, we do also have that new build option to where they're building from scratch. Now, we have limited options, though. So if it's somebody that wanted all of those things that you were talking about earlier, driving range, all the things, they wouldn't come to us
sure.
at all. And right. so our limited options are going to be like adding a sunroom, a basement in select communities, wet wall, tile, shower, like things like that.
Sure.
So they're not going to be a napkin drawing per se. We're pre-programmed. They can pick color package, but again, it's all a package. There's no design studio with us. So I'd say if somebody's looking for more of a move-in ready option and looking for more of a seamless, more hands-off, easier transaction, then they should look into us.
Now, what he had mentioned with Carrington Homes is how much money a client has to put down to yeah. get the process started. Then, of course, they probably have another update where they have to throw some more money down until they get to the end. Now, I know with builders like you all, that's not the case.
Yeah.
What's the down payment process look like with you and then the end?
So right now, I mean, we're offering financing that's 4.99, 5.5, 30-year fixed rate, and with that, $4,000 in closing costs. Now, when you're going to build a home, that financing rate isn't going to be locked in right away because it can take us 4 to 6 months is what we like to kind of target. And so, but with the 4.99 and 5.5 rates, it would be as little as a 3.5 down. I mean, of course, it always depends on credits.
Sure.
And all that.
So I'm not happy to carry construction financing.
No.
And put down that right. huge amount and carry that interest only until it turns into a permanent loan.
Right. We take care of that on our side.
You guys are carrying all the construction costs.
Yes.
And you're making it really easy for that customer to yes. come in with a conventional, a home ready, home possible, or an FHA.
It's extremely similar to a pre-existing home yeah. financing.
So that, and I tell a lot of people that when
yeah.
when they've looked. You know, Brian and Sean have been out there showing them 180 homes for the last 4 months. And then they're like, hey, we just want to have one. Or actually, this is even worse. Hey, we don't need you anymore. We stopped in on Sunday and bought a DR home.
Oh, they wouldn't say that.
So if the realtor isn't with the buyer, should the client that's coming in to buy that new home, should they tell you guys that they've been working with a realtor for all this time?
They should.
I'm Brian, your Indianapolis realtor. If you are looking to buy or sell a house in the Indy area, I'm your guy. If you're coming from out of state, want to make a move to the Indy area, I'm your guy. Check out the show notes for a link. We can get in touch and get you started. Thanks for watching. Now back to the show.
they should, but Lord knows they don't all the time. And so actually something that's kind of recent in its development, we used to have what was called the MIBOR Baggy Pact, which stated that new home construction with these builders, they pay on procuring cause, not for basically the realtor representing the client, more just procuring cause. We have now demolished that. So it's actually not that anymore. And we are paying based on your paperwork. So now with your buyer's agency agreement.
Okay.
Which is going to help a lot of that in those situations. Again, those buyers are going to be on the hook to you when they sign that regardless.
Right.
That's not really our position. However, it's never our position to try to get a buyer not represented by a realtor. We welcome realtor business. It's something that I've always admired about D.R. Horton in general. Through COVID, through everything, their business plan has not strayed against realtors and their importance to the industry and to our business as well.
Yeah, some builders did that.
Some builders did.
Yeah, they did.
Unfortunately.
And that really says, you just said a mountain of words that says to realtors, don't be afraid to get your buyer's agency agreement signed when you very first start showing homes. You should understand the value that you give to those buyers.
Yep.
That's right. So how does a realtor help a situation when it comes to working with a new home build? Because the home is going to be built whether that realtor is there or
not.
How do they factor into the process?
So, I mean, like 10 million things just popped in my head.
Just narrow it down to a few.
I mean, it's important to have a realtor, and buyers, like, I mean, Sean and you guys were just saying, don't always know the realtor value. But when they're starting their real estate search, the first thing that you should do is be shopping your realtors and interviewing realtors to find the best realtor that's going to work for you. I mean, just like you would interview people who are going to work for you in a company, you interview your realtors because they're going to work for you for your transaction. And a good realtor is going to show you their value in their market knowledge and knowing in their business relationships. So a good realtor is also going to have relationships with different builders, know what each builder is offering incentives wise, at least for the most part. And if you would be a right buyer profile fit for that said builder, introducing you to that. And
how much did you pay her before she got here?
Not at all.
I mean, no,
just like a big old check on this shirt.
Yeah,
sure. She got a free sticker.
I take
everybody loves free stickers.
Yeah, I did get a sticker, so that's exciting.
And I made her a great
margarita.
I made her a great margarita, but I'm not getting any mortgage deals. I guarantee. Not at $4.99.
Hey, I mean, we can help each other in other ways. But I mean, there's so many benefits to having a realtor. They're going to be your advocate, whereas we want to make the sale. We want a happy buyer, of course. That is, we want nothing more. However, in the long run, we do work for the builder, and that realtor works for you.
100%.
So that's an advocate. It's not going to hurt you either way. It's not like you're getting a better deal without a realtor. You are simply having somebody there for you and knowing things like we accept third-party inspections.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's huge.
The realtor
that's huge.
That and can set that up and have those connections. And so, I mean, there's so many things along the way that you're going to be confused about that your realtor can just set you at ease. And who's going to sell that house in 5 to 10 years?
Right.
So are there some...
Not the builder.
Are there some builders that don't accept a third-party inspection?
Yeah, there are.
Wow. You want to name those?
I don't. I don't want to name them.
As you were talking, one of the things that popped in my head is I'm currently working with some buyers who are doing a new build. Sorry, it's not DR. But...
That's okay. I probably got them pre...
Exactly. One of the things that I think about is... One of the main roles of the realtor in that particular situation is liaison. because my two clients have full-time jobs. Mm-hmm. And when something comes up, there's communication with the builder that, you know, this went wrong or this is going to be delayed or whatever. Well, that's my job to, you know, kind of work that out and try and, whether it's calm my clients down or, you know, deal with the situation from their end and handle it while they're at work so that they don't have to have all the phone calls and text messages and whatever. That's what I do. You know, this is literally my job. So,
I want to hire somebody that does taxes full time to do my taxes and who does estate planning to handle my will and estate like full time, because I don't know anything about that and I don't have time for it.
One of the things that you had also said in there was it's not less expensive or cheaper for the buyer without a realtor.
Yeah.
So, you know, you all offer a very generous percentage to realtors, which I've always appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But what the buyer doesn't realize oftentimes if they walk in the door, whether they're with a realtor or not, but if they don't mention the realtor that they're with, it's probably because they think they're going to save money because now that fee's not coming out. No, it doesn't go away. It's just less money that the builder pays out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
it's more profitable not to have that for you.
It is. But you all do a great job of promoting realtors and being part.
I mean, in regards to a business plan, realtors are who bring us the most business. So it just makes the most sense.
For the builder, it's like having 10,000 salespeople.
Literally.
For real. I mean, you know, you had early on had mentioned the videos that I've done in your spec homes.
Mm-hmm.
That's free marketing for you all.
Mm.
It's marketing for me, you know, showing that I'm in the area, you know, showing off houses, blah, blah, blah. And of course, I'm trying to get buyers to come in and do that. But it's also free advertising for you to show off your stuff. And whether I bring in the buyer or not, someone's going to see that video.
And almost 90% of our sales are realtor sales.
Well, how about that?
So
what kind of price points are you at?
So it's going to depend on location. However, high 200s.
Wow.
Into the 500s. So that's going to just depend on, you know, location.
Florida. North side versus south side.
Yes.
Basement.
We're starting to price out basements. That's getting it to be higher. So, yeah.
How many communities does DR have in the Indy area?
We're continuing to grow. I'm like, we have like five that I can think of right now that will be opening in the next year or two. So we have about 25 right now. And then we're continuing to expand to places like Muncie, Edinburgh.
Shelbyville,
we have a community there.
Is there one in Greenfield?
We have Greenfield.
Wow. Half acre lots in New Pal. Thank you, Sean.
Mm-hmm. And we're opening another one. Yep.
Do you have any in McCordsville?
We did. We actually just closed out in McCordsville.
It's because everybody's buying in McCordsville.
It's a hot spot.
For sure. Our traffic's going to suck. Hey, but I don't go anywhere.
Your houses will look great.
Stay right here in my house.
That's right. You know what we haven't done in several episodes?
Shots.
Is half quart shots.
Oh, my.
So,
wait a minute. We have to drink a half a quart?
That was my basketball terminology. Adriana, being the guest, we're going to do a shot here. Do you have a liquor of preference for said shot? It doesn't just have to be tequila.
Well, stick to tequila.
All right.
Point.
Totally agree with that. And that's a great...
Well,
great
we will break here and find a tequila to shoot, and we'll be right back.
Perfect.
Yep. Okay. All right. What do we got here? A shot of Corrido tequila. Corrido tequila.
Thanks for choosing tequila, I guess.
I love it. Thank you very much.
No.
Sean, thank you for joining on the shot.
Sorry, Sean's in for the shots.
Salud, yes.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Ooh, that's so good.
No shot face either.
That was good.
I did not have a shot face. Did you? Oh, did
I? I locked in.
Yeah, but good tequila. Good, authentic, traditional, additive-free, amazing tequila. Takes no salt, no lime. There's nothing. Three ingredients to make that tequila. Agave, yeast, and water.
Interesting.
Yeah, out of that, you can make 9,000 different profiles. At least that's what Sergio Cruz says he can make, is 9,000 different profiles. Just from the way you crush it, cook it, distill it and ferment it, you can make it taste different. I can give you multiple tequilas that'll taste different with just the same three ingredients. It's good stuff. It's good for you, too.
Oh, did you see?
Yeah, Fred, no burn.
Fred just threw a message in there. Thanks for talking about tequila again. You're welcome. Fred loves tequila. In fact, Fred is coming around on the old tequila train. Yeah, we'll see.
He is?
We shall see. So, speaking of alcohol, have you ever taken a wine class or tasting at Total Wine in Greenwood?
No.
Have you ever been to a meeting where you had to stand up and tell your name?
I've actually never been to a winery either, and I love wine. I'm a wine girl, so I need to do that.
Go to the Daniels Winery right here in McCainsville.
Daniels Vineyard?
Yeah,
there you go.
I have been there, but I didn't do a tasting.
Well, my wife does my wife does the tasting classes at T-Dub in Greenwood.
Oh. So,
and she does a fantastic job.
Yep.
She does.
Have me over.
That's right. And we'll be at the ball and probably talk more wine there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be at the ball.
And why not?
Well, I'm not a realtor.
There is that.
Yeah. It's just MIBOR.
Well, I'm not a MIBOR member.
Oh.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. I'm not going to.
I like having
it's been one
here.
Of the events that I haven't gone to.
I know.
I'll go to the Remington Awards or the Remy's. We'll go to the Remy's.
The Remy's.
Remy's is fun. I've been going to that for multiple years. The Remy's is an award show for Indie Real Producers Magazine.
Yep.
And we've been a big sponsor of each event for the last several years, and it's always fun to go to. I get to usually pick somebody to win an award.
Ooh.
Yeah, you do.
You don't,
that's a big deal.
You don't win, you don't, you may not know this, but you know the Oscars and the Grammys and all these big awards.
Heard of them.
You know those people actually have to like campaign to win the award?
Correct.
Oh, like the nominee?
Yeah, they're like kissing the ass or the rear end of the, you know, the members of the CMA or the members of whatever the Oscar people.
The Academy.
The Academy. That's why they say I'd like to thank the Academy.
Correct.
I paid you $11 million to win this award for my shitty movie that nobody came and seen.
I was wholeheartedly disappointed Ariana Grande did not win for Wicked.
Wow.
I did watch, what was that called? The Substance, and Demi Moore won over Ariana Grande.
Maybe they're just holding out because there'll be a part two.
Maybe.
What? There is a part two.
I was disappointed.
The best thing about the Golden Globes was Nikki.
She was Nikki Glaser.
And I love the fact that she said, I loved Wicked. My boyfriend loved Wicked. My boyfriend's boyfriend loved Wicked.
Now, I've seen Wicked on stage. Have you ever seen on stage? Okay.
Yep.
It aggravates me that they took a stage production that's all of 2 or 2.5 hours by itself and made it into two to two and a half hour movies.
Have you seen the deleted scenes?
No,
I haven't seen the movie because
they
should have
added also the deleted scenes. I'm like, part one should have been 3.5 hours and part two should be 4.
Yeah, I've decided that we're going to wait until part two comes out and then watch them consecutively.
Seen the first one?
No, I've already seen the stage show. I don't really need to see
it. I just bought it on Amazon Prime the other day for $30. And I've seen it already twice before that. And now I watch it every night before bed.
Well, okay.
Best line from Nikki Glaser's Golden Globes monologue?
I don't know that I have a best line, but I said,
remember, you do this for art. And if you don't win today, you always can start a celebrity tequila brand so you never have to do it for art again.
As soon as she said that, I did think of you. But I liked her joking with Chalamet, and then she called Adam Sandler, who totally nailed that. That was
not the popular song.
Popular?
Yeah, can always be popular. You didn't see that part? Oh, it's fantastic.
We did stop watching at one
point. I only watched the highlights. I only wanted to see the Nikki Glaser parts. She's amazing.
She
is like the best roaster of all of the roasting people.
That is true. So one question I do have about D.R. Horton getting back to business here. Do you have...
Yeah, he was looking for a segue.
I was like, I don't watch commercials.
Speaking of your shorter ranch style host.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of Kevin Hart, do you guys have a ranch?
a one story.
So out of the D.R. Horton models, do you have a favorite one?
Okay. If we're talking one story, it's going to be the Fairfax. And if we're talking two story, it's going to be one of our brand new ones, the Johnstown.
Ooh, the Johnstown. I haven't
seen that one yet. So yep. I'm going to put you on the spot. What is it about those two particular models that stands out to you?
So the Johnstown has a hidden staircase that is extremely wide. So that's a really cool feature.
Definitely.
Johnstown. And the Fairfax, I like it has a covered porch that's like encompassed between the house, if that makes sense.
Back porch, front porch?
Back porch.
Okay.
And I don't know. I just like the layout of it.
I like how she looked up to see what the model looked like.
Right.
She's envisioning. That's true. Yeah.
They're up there.
That was impressive that you looked up like that.
Yes.
I feel Sean knows he's not part of the show.
No, Sean thinks he's part of the show. He needs a microphone.
Fine, I believe. It's not completely done, but...
And you got to stop bringing guests. We're going to talk.
He was supposed to be here for this show. He was just coming to Washington and he won't leave.
We'll talk.
He's the guest that won't leave.
I love you. It's all good.
No,
so
they have two.
Is it easier for Gronk to walk in your basements or Kevin Hart?
Gronk's probably like 6'7". Yep. Hart is not.
Kevin Hart's like, I love your basements. They're fantastic. It seems so spacious.
I'm sure it's easier for Kevin Hart to walk in most places.
Yeah.
Oh,
area.
He can stand in a dryer.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a crawl space. Kevin.
I actually used Kevin Hart as an example of why some people can and can't qualify for a mortgage.
Okay.
So you know how some people think, well, I have bad credit, but I make a lot of money and I have a big down payment.
Mm-hmm.
That's still not getting a mortgage, right?
Right.
Or, you know, I have great credit and I have no income, but I have down payment. Well, you're still not getting a mortgage, right? Because you have to qualify for all three.
All of them.
So I tell people, look, a mortgage has minimums, three minimums, the three C's,
mm-hmm.
collateral, capacity, and credit.
Mm-hmm.
So I say it's kind of like Kevin Hart at an amusement park.
Okay.
He's famous. He's rich. Everybody knows him, but he's just not tall enough to ride the ride.
Yeah.
And your credit score makes you not tall enough to ride the ride.
Yeah.
Or your lack of down payment makes you not tall enough.
It doesn't matter how much you pay to get in. You can't ride.
You can't ride the ride. Yeah. And I can see Kevin Hart like telling a funny joke. And then it's like, sorry, man, you're not tall enough to ride the ride. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I use that a lot of times to explain why somebody can or can't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
To buy a house or ride the ride.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, good. I use it a lot.
So I have a height related story and an amusement park. We went to Holiday World down in Santa Claus, right?
Classic.
I don't know.
It's Christmas.
My favorite water park, by the way. Mm. And so we're there and we're about to ride this 4-person ride that goes down, you do the toilet bowl, then you drop through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves going through a toilet bowl.
Exactly. So we get up there. My son is like just at the threshold of being tall enough to ride this, but not quite there. So he gets there and they do the measurement. We're like, you know, stand on your tiptoes.
Stand whatever. Tall.
Stand. Exactly. Stand tall. And they let him on.
He flew off and died.
No. However, the tubes was 4 interconnected one piece. It was a one piece tube with 4 seats, I guess is a better way to describe it, right? And each seat has no bottom to it. So it's a donut. Well, Will sits in this thing and his butt just drops through. And he's got his arms and his legs up like this, and he can't. The fear on his face was like, holy cow, I'm going to die. So we went down this ride with my hand under his butt holding him up the entire time. And he loved the ride, but we did not go back on.
can I tell you something? As a father of a son who works at amusement park,
uh-huh.
and his job is to make sure that people don't die on ride
right.
because they're Kevin Hart.
Right.
Don't cheat that system. Your kid might die.
Well, he didn't. And I have this story to tell.
It's very important that they fly out. Like, they'll never get the opportunity to buy a D.R. Horton home.
My thought was segue.
Went at the beginning.
is it?
Rules are rules, Brian.
Rules are rules.
Wow. That hurt.
Yeah. Like when they say, you know, put your phone away.
Oh. When do they say that?
On roller coasters. Because people have lost their phones.
Oh, yeah.
Fell out of them trying to get their phone.
That's
I've known some people that their phone fell out of their pocket and they lost their phone.
Have you ever?
My biggest fear.
You ever dropped an ear pod while you're in a plane?
No.
I've dropped something on the floor.
I wear ear pods. They always fall out of my ears.
Do they? I struggle with it too. But when they drop and then they go on the floor in the airplane, like I'm not as big as I used to be. But even
leaning down there,
I have a hard time picking things up off the floor.
And you're in first class. You've got extra space.
Yeah. And you're getting your feet involved by trying to get your ear pod up. It's horrible.
Outstanding.
Do you not fly first class?
Once in my life.
You've not.
We continue to fly Southwest Airlines.
I don't fly Southwest.
Doesn't have that.
They don't. I don't like
to go private, but.
Oh, good Lord. How much is D.R. Horton paying? I need a new job.
I thought I'm working for D.R. Horton. I've just changed.
Sean just lost a realtor. I still want to fly private.
Maybe we should go down to Florida private.
No, I'm like in the back.
Probably. It's $5,000 an hour.
Oh, okay. I don't have that kind of money.
Have you ever flown private?
No, I'm like in the back in a middle seat.
I have a couple of friends with private jets, and it's a pull up, and they take your car keys and go park your car, and then they bring your car back out to you. You customs right at your car.
Well, how do we get connected to those flights?
Yeah, it's just a they have to call you.
How good of friends are you?
Right? They call.
You want to go to Florida to run the Disney Marathon in January?
I may work that out. We were flying to Cabo. Actually, it was during COVID, and my wife got COVID, so we had to cancel our regular flight to Cabo. And I made her drink a shot a day until she could taste. And then when she did, I said, "Go get tested, and if you're negative, we're going to Cabo tomorrow." So we did that. 7 days she tested, she was negative, and I said, okay, book a trip today. And there were no flights out of Indianapolis, but there were flights out of Louisville. So I said, book it. We'll drive to Louisville. We'll fly to Cabo out of Louisville. We get down there, and we're sitting in the airport, and they delayed our flight 2 hours.
Crap.
So we waited 2 hours in Louisville Airport, which is not a fantastic airport.
It's not.
Nothing against Louisville Airport, but it's not, you know, it's not the Ritz-Carlton. And then they delayed it again, so another 3 hours.
Oh, good grief.
So I called a buddy of mine who has a jet, and I said, hey, what would it cost for me to fly to Cabo today? Because we keep getting delayed. And they're like, well, it's $5,000 an hour, so that's a four-hour flight.
Okay.
But we can't afford to have the pilot stay there, so it's going to be $5,000 an hour for him to fly back, and then $5,000 an hour to pick you up, and then $5,000.
Triple the price.
$100,000.
Wow.
We'll wait.
Yeah.
I looked at Tony. I said, we'll wait. We'll just wait. We're good.
They afford to have the pilot stay there.
Because we were there for 15 days.
Oh.
So you can't let the plane and the pilot sit in Cabo for 15 days. The pilot's going to have other. Yeah. So that turned into $100,000. So I said, we'll appreciate it. Let me think about it a minute.
Thanks for the info.
Let me think about it a minute. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. We'll wait.
It didn't take a minute.
It's like 800. Our flight's like $844.
Right. Just a little.
That's before we flew first class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're special.
We sit back there with you.
That's right.
Hey, can I get some peanuts
back in?
With me.
Coach.
Just do it.
I was like in between like you and your wife. I was that one.
I will say the one time we went first class was on a flight to Florida. Mm-hmm. And
that wasn't long enough to appreciate.
Honestly, it wasn't. I actually think, and it was from here to Chicago and then Chicago to Florida. But I actually think our first class part was just from here to, no, it was like Chicago. I don't know. It was
went from here to Chicago. You got
yeah, off. No, it wasn't that. But either way, it was a short leg. And I'm like, I mean, it was fine, but.
What is the price difference?
Oh, usually several hundred dollars.
Okay.
So first class to Hawaii was like $3,800 and the regular flight was like $800 or something.
Oh, so several thousand.
Exactly.
You get cookies and food and a hot towel to wash your hands off.
And beverages, baby.
beverages, all you can drink beverages.
All you can drink
unless
beverages.
You're with bougie Stephanie, because our one first class flight, she asks about, what kind of wine do you have?
Shitty wine.
And yeah, I know. And the woman didn't really know. And so Stephanie's like, well, just do this. And then, you know, she just didn't enjoy the wine.
They have no tequila. American Airlines. We always fly American. No tequila. So I bring my own. But when we flew during COVID, you know, there was the no drinking.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm on this flight from L.A., 6-hour flight from L.A. to Hawaii. And I looked at the lady. She's like, do you want something to drink? And I was like, well, no, there's no alcohol. And she said, well, sir, that's for the regular cabin.
Oh,
and I was like, so, like, we could have alcohol? And she's like, yep. And I said, I got a Red Bull. Do you have some vodka?
She's like, to say, during COVID, then what was the difference between us peasants back?
Cookies.
We get cookies. The peasants get
cookies. No. They're warmed up on a plate. You get warm
cookies. I'm sure you get cookies and coats.
You don't get cookies.
Bag of trail mix.
Oh, yeah, you may get. You get maybe.
It's ginger cookies.
Yeah, one ginger cookie. This is fresh. This is fresh cooked.
Get those.
This is fresh cooked chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
And you get a meal. Cookies. And then all the drinks. So she's like, well, I said, I brought a Red Bull. She's like, well, let's get this party started.
Oh, heck yeah.
So I drew a, I poked a straw hole in my mask.
Yeah.
Whole flight. Perfect. It's fantastic.
Well, thanks for watching Airline Talk.
Airline Talk.
Actually, no. Thanks for watching Real Estate Makes Us Drink. Hit that subscribe button, share it, and leave us a comment. If you're looking to buy new construction in the Indianapolis area, I'm going to hook you up with DR Horton because she's realtor relations. So I'm your guy to get you into DR Horton, and we're gonna get that going because they make really nice houses. I'm a big fan.
And if you can't find that existing house, that is absolutely the best way to go. And their bond money rates are phenomenal. And even though I make a lot of jokes and call them the builder's mafia, it's a great way to buy a house. No joke.
All right. Well, Brad, thanks for hosting.
Cheers.
Adriana, thanks for coming out to talk with us today.
So glad to be here.
And we'll see you next time on Real Estate Makes Us Drink. Cheers.